Sure.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Father, you said in 2 Corinthians that we are not to look to the seen, but to the unseen. You said that the things that are seen of this world are just temporary, fleeting, and passing. But the things that are unseen are permanent and stable and unchanging. Father, we live in such a changing world that we need to see the things that are unchanging. Help the Christians calm their soul down in this hour, Father. Very strong, strong spirits at this time raising up all over the earth, Lord. But we know, Lord, that these things are designed to press us in closer. Just like the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach, and the guys, they were seeing something that was unseen. They never even looked at the flames in the furnace. That's the kind of people that you're raising up in this hour, Father.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We love you for everything that you're doing in our life and even everything that's going on in the world, that you're giving man his day. But we also know now that we're entering into the day of the Lord. And that's the great hope that we have, Father. Come into the day of the Lord. So, Father, raise us up into heavenly places that we can go and show a changing world the unchangeable glory of Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, it's good to be back. Missed y'all.
Good to have you back.
Missed
you,
Heather.
Huh?
missed you last week.
I was here.
I wasn't.
I know.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying.
I ran the class.
Oh, did you? You and Kathy? Well, anyway, we've been talking about the ascending life, right? For how many weeks? And then last week we weren't here, so God's kind of taken us into another aspect of that, and that is being in Him. Wouldn't you say and agree that there's been a lot of talk about Christ in you?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of talk. You hear a lot of talk, you know, even a lot of the denominations or whatever, starting to get that realization that Christ is in you and that's your hope and glory. So you hear a lot about that, but you don't hear as much about us being in Him. Would you agree with that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of go back to a little bit of stuff we talked about, because it just, God just always puts it all together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and when you sit there and do this, you realize it's none of you and it's all of Him, you know? So the question is, what does it mean to be in Him? What does it mean to be in Him? That's what we're going to talk about today. So the first thing I did is I went to the old Webster's Dictionary and got the definition of in. Interesting, huh? It's expressing the situation of something that is or appears to be enclosed or surrounded by something else. Okay? Now, then I went to the Strong's and it said, to be in something is to give self wholly. How you doing, Cal? Thanks for last week. And that's not H-O-L-Y. It's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And then I like this last one the best as far as being in, and that is a relation of rest. Wow. Couldn't we all use that, huh? So when you are in Him, you are at rest. Interesting. You are resting in Him. And you all have been in a situation where you called upon His name and you needed Him desperately in a situation. You were either anxious or you were desperate or you were angry or what. And you said, Lord, I'm going within because that's where you are. But not only am I going within, I want to go in you. And we're going to catch some of these things here as we go. So like I said 2 weeks ago, God is putting all this back together again. You know, it's new. It's back together from something that has been divided, separated, whatever. And He's going to make sure everything's put in its rightful place. And when you see that, it's easier to trust Him to put you back together.
Amen.
You know, to put you back together requires something of you, don't you think?
Yes.
So, we have to be pliable. We have to be able to allow Him to put us back together. And we talked about no more disharmony, no more distress, all the disses. You can read it up there. And then we said our submission becomes our unity. So we have to submit. I mean, Brother Oscar was talking about his brother, and I hope you don't mind me repeating this, but he was talking to Wiley in the hospital, and he's been in intensive care, so keep praying for the brother. But he said, you know, I knew I had a calling on my life, you know. And many people have had a calling on their lives that just, they're not ready, you know. But like Oscar told his brother, is there's plenty of time to, how'd you put it?
Well, I told him, I said, you know, if God brings you out of this, there's plenty of time. You know, you got to remember Abraham was 75 years old.
Yeah.
So when God started dealing with him, so, you know, and Wiley's 75 years old.
Oh,
yes. So
our submission becomes our unity or oneness with Him and in Him. Okay? Jesus said, not mine, but thy will be done. And the sooner we get to that place, the sooner we will experience and realize that we are in Him. Restitution is God putting these things back together in union in Himself. It's not going to happen. This restitution of God is not going to happen until we realize that He's putting us back together in union in Himself. You know, He's not doing a new thing here that doesn't include Him. Okay? Until all separation and division is healed. I like that word, healed. You know, there's division, there's separation, we've called it mixture, we've called it duality, we've called it a lot of different things. But until all that separation and division is healed, you know, it's not going to be, we're not going to realize that we're in Him.
The oneness.
Every deficiency is replenished, all imbalance corrected, and all extremes harmonized. Man, could the church use that today? I mean, really. I mean, this corner's got this thing going on. They say stay away from this corner because they got something else going on. And this corner says, oh, stay away from this corner back here, man. They're a cult, you know. They're heretics, whatever. You know, gosh, let's just get all that out of there and start bringing in Jesus in us, Christ in us, and us in Him. In this state of being, self-will, duality, sin, and death forever cease to exist. Oh, you mean I won't die? Well, that's not the death we're talking about. We're talking death to self. I mean, there will be a day where death is gone forever. Forever and ever and ever. It's thrown into the lake of fire, isn't it? But duality has to become the all in all. The duality has to become the all in all. When it's all in all, there's just one. Right? all in all of us in him, one. And then we don't look at us and him, it's him, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's him. It's all about him. It's not about us at all. It's all about him. And I use the expression, if you take a cup of water and you go to the ocean, you pour it in, once it's poured in, can you tell where your cup of water is?
No.
No, because it's all the ocean. It's all the ocean. It's all him. Okay, I'm going to get to a couple more points, and then we can open it up. And I want to ask you the question back to where we started. What does it mean to be in him to you? Okay, what does it mean to be in him to you? We talked, the last thing, two things I'm going to say is we talked last 2 weeks ago about he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit, one. All this oneness keeps coming up, right? And then restitution, we rest in knowing that Lord just gave me this 2 weeks ago before I came to church where I kind of twisted some things around, so but it was kind of cool. We rest knowing that your intuition, instead of restitution, I use the word intuition. So we rest knowing that your intuition, then I looked up, what is intuition in the dictionary? It says, the ability to understand something immediately without need for conscious reasoning. You are in him when your intuition is his intuition. You are in him. You're not thinking about it. It's just part of you. There's no thought to it. There's no reasoning or trying to figure it out. It's just, you know it's him. Huh?
It's a knowing.
It is a knowing. Okay. Let's see. And then without me, it's the mind of Christ. And we pray about the mind of Christ and all that. Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Quit praying, give me the mind of Christ. You already got it.
Amen.
It's there. It's there. Well, I don't sense it sometimes. Well, it doesn't matter. It's there. You have the mind of Christ, or you wouldn't be sitting around this table right now.
Doesn't it say we walk by faith?
We walk by faith.
Not by sight?
Exactly. Yeah, not by sight. So anyway, I've said this before, just quit praying for things you already got. Have faith to believe he's already put it in us and that we can move on, and with that knowledge that he is in us and we are in him. I don't know where I saw this, but I saw this somewhere. Grace is divine enablement. Think about that just for a second. When he gives you grace, it's imparted to you to be reflected out of you, right?
Right.
I mean, this whole thing's in and out, in and out. So if that's grace, the divine impartation and the reflection in life, then guess what? He's going to give you the enablement to go and reflect that into the life. That life is anything and everything you do is going to have season with grace. And that's not easy. There's people that you want to just have out with them right out of... Yeah. Okay. But anyway, yes. So...
Well, it has to be divine because...
Right. We can't do that.
There is no way to do that on our own.
I mean, Julie and I will sit there and someone will, you know... We always use this example because everybody's experienced it. Someone cuts you off or... whatever, pulls out in front of you, you gotta slam your brakes on, you say, how'd they not see us? And we're constantly telling each other, okay, grace.
Yeah.
They didn't see you, so just have grace and don't get upset or anything. Anyway.
You're telling a woman?
Huh?
Not to get upset? You're telling a woman not to get upset?
Yes.
Well, you don't know much women about women, do you?
My old identity, Etta, has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. So you're talking about that old Etta. You're not talking about the new Etta. Let that new Etta come through.
Well, and sometimes that old Etta sneaks right in there.
Well, that's true. That's true. But that's where we have to continue to realize that he's in us and we're in him. He's giving you that enablement, divine enablement. He's giving you that. It's already been given to you. But you got to listen to it, and you got to walk it out. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, just like we were saying. It's him. It's all about him. It's not me anymore. It's him. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son. And I wrote this down. I don't know what scripture it is. It's verse 20. I don't know what the book or the chapter is, but it doesn't matter. It's really good stuff. It's the Word of God here coming forth. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. And I love this. Dispensing his life into mine. Wow. He and me and him. Dispensing his life into mine. Wow, that is so good. So that is why I don't view God's grace as something peripheral. Oh, I had to look that one up. It means away from the sinner. Isn't that interesting? For if keeping the law could release God's righteousness to us, then Christ would have died for nothing. Right? So if anybody could have kept the law but Jesus, then he didn't need to die. It'd just be all on us. And real quick, I'm going to read through John 17 because I want to hear what you all have to say. And Jesus prays for you. And I love this because he specifically says, this isn't just for you all that's sitting around listening to my audible voice. This is for the others too. I pray for them, all of us, to be joined together as one. Even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize you have sent me. No wonder the world doesn't recognize he's been sent by the Father, because even the Christians can't come together as one, much less the others. So, for the very glory you have given me, I have given them. Remember, we've talked a lot about, I'll never give my glory to another. Right there it says, we are not another. We have his glory. So, and then comes the word that I think is so important today, and that's experience. Experience the same unity that we enjoy. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is experience him. Experience his presence. Experience everything that is him, because, let's face it, when you go to a new job, what do? They train you. That's how you get your experience to be able to do your job. You have to be trained, and then you do your job, and then you gain a year or 2 years. Some people gain 50 years of experience at a job. I'd say they're going to be pretty darn good at what they do. So it says, you live fully in me, now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity. And the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that, here's the key, that you love each one of them. It has to start first with, God first loved me. That's the first. And then as you realize that love and you experience that love, wow, it's so much easier to share that love. And that's ultimately what he wants. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, I got a definition of worship. This isn't Strong's, but I love it. It's so beautiful. It says, allow, the definition of worship, to allow his sweetness to be in you. wow. There's a lot of sweetness there that he can share, isn't there? Not through a bunch of effort to please him. Doesn't the Bible call that dead works? When you're operating in his sweetness, your works are his works. He is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Enjoy the feast you have been given. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Now, we've hit some things, then I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures that even clarify it even more. But what if we were to go around the room, how would you answer this question? What does it mean to be in him in your day-to-day life? You know, what does it mean to you? And I'm not going to call on anybody, so someone come forth.
People can tell. I mean, if we're in him, he's in us. So people can tell just by how we are, talk and treat other people that Christ is in us and we're in him.
Okay. So just in your day-to-day walk.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Drew, okay. Anybody else?
Rich.
Yeah.
I was just looking at this, I when I used to teach a Sunday school class years ago, I taught it for years and years that Christians believe in Christ in you. But the full circle of that is believing that you're in him. And until we believe that we're in him, like it says in the book of Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. Until we truly believe that, we can't come to the full circle of it. And the root word for in, the root word, means a primary preposition denoting a position in place, a fixed position in place, time, or state. A fixed position. You know, when something's in a fixed position, you know what?
It's not
going to move. If you fix it, if you fix, that clock up there and you glue it to the wall, it's in a fixed position. It's going to stay on that wall, and to get it off, you're going to have to tear a piece of the wall off to get it out, you know. And when we realize that when we're in him and we come to that full realization that we're in him too, he's not only in us, but we're in him, then we're in that fixed position of place, time, or state. And it goes on and it says, i.e. a relationship of rest. But that's the actual root of that word, you know. It's the word, it's written en, you know, in the Greek. But, you know, when we come to that real realization that we're in him also, in him we live and move and have our being, then we know that, you know, you can't live, you can't move, and you can't have your being without being in him. It's just creation out there doesn't believe it. They don't know it. And it's part of our job, what you're doing today, to teach them that and to show them that.
And it even surpasses time and space. Yeah. It even goes beyond time and space, you know, when you think about it, because there will someday be no time and no space that we see as today. And he's still going to, it's immovable. He's still going to be the same then as he is today. It's funny you brought that up, because I wrote down, God made a special space inside of him so that in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So it comes, there's a place in him. You think, well, God doesn't need us. Yes, he does.
Yes,
we're part of him.
We're a part of him. If you realize that also, we're a part of Elohim, which in the beginning was Elohim created everything. We were a part of that.
That's right. And so he needs us to complete him too. I know that sounds different from what a lot of us teach out there, but that's the truth. When he's all in all, guess what? He's all in all. I mean, it's not all in partial all. Yeah.
Okay. The rest. So much going through my mind right now. The biggest thing about realizing and understanding Christ in us, we're in him, and you said, how does that involve your everyday life? The minute that I really began to understand, even slightly,
that I don't have to strive to obtain something I already
have. Yeah, that's huge.
That is, it changed my whole way of looking at everything. And in the world, it changed my way of looking at my, and not only my brothers and sisters, but other people. If I can see them as they are, as in Christ, but not understanding their oneness, then my reaction to them is totally different. And there is no more duality. Sometimes I have to fight my own, old man, if that's what you would want to call it.
Yeah.
But the way that I love living right now is to sit back and keep myself in a place of understanding and stay in his, try to stay in the realization that, I am pleasing to him. He is holding my life. Every single breath is a gift, and each person who's in my life today is exactly where they need to be at this time, at this place. And it takes away all of that striving within me. And it teaches me to love my fellow man in a whole new way that I never experienced before. To allow him to go through what he needs to go through. And not think I have to fix him. That's what I get out of that.
Yeah, when you're saying that, I tell Julie sometimes, I go, look, you'll never be satisfied with other people until you give them that grace. Because whatever your standards are, and you're expecting everybody to live up to those standards, down the street may be someone with higher standards than you, and they look at you the same way you look at someone with lower. You see where I'm saying? That vicious circle of judging and all that, You got to get rid of that, because if you see the Christ in them, you won't look at them the way with the natural eye, with the temporal, keep your mind above.
Your chain of thought's different, and the way you walk is different, really.
Yes.
Because you're filled with his love. And even your speech is different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you don't look at your brothers and sisters as, judgmental. Right?
Right. That's the key right there. We've got to look and see the Christ in everyone. And if we do, man, our life's so much better, because nothing's going to get us all worked up that this person did this to me or that person did the other. You're not going to have to go through and give out a lot of forgiveness, because you never even had unforgiveness. Didn't even enter your mind. You know what I'm saying? So, that's good.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about that comment that, I don't know who made it, Oscar or you, where you said that Wiley knew he had a calling on his life.
Yeah.
That struck a chord in me. The chord is this: what is the calling on every brother and sister's life? The calling is to know him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to find out what ministry God's called you into, because you'll never have a ministry until you develop an inner knowing and an inner knowledge of who he is, and until you can receive of his wisdom and his knowledge and understanding. But I think that the true calling, if I was sitting here just talking to a young man that just got saved or whatever, the only thing I would tell him is, this is true religion. Jesus said that you would know me.
Mm-hmm.
Paul prayed, and I pray that the Father would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep within you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And that was Paul's ministry, was to lead every man perfect in Christ, to bring every man and woman to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's just so much emphasis put on this, that, and the other thing. You know what I'm saying? Even when we talk about, you know, we all want wisdom, we all want to manifest the peace of God, we want to manifest the love of God. The only way that we can manifest anything is to know Him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily work hard in the church, go to church 6 days a week, although there's nothing wrong with any of that, don't misunderstand me. It's just, where is the emphasis placed in Christianity today? What is the foundation that we're lying in the that we are laying in the hearts and the minds in Christianity in the church today? The people that are gathering in these pews every Sunday morning, millions of them. There's a lot of chatter about this, that, and the other thing. But God really, the cry of his heart, like in John 17, like you touched on, Rich, 6 or 7 times in there, Jesus's high priestly prayer was that they experience you. That is the calling. And it's out of that calling and that life flowing through us that we can demonstrate his life. I remember this week I was talking to the Lord and I said, you know, I really wish I had the ability to articulate, you know, this gospel the way I hear some of my other brothers and sisters articulating the gospel and all that. And he said, well, that's good. I appreciate where you're coming from. But there's one thing greater than articulating the gospel. It's manifesting the gospel.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, the only way you're going to be able to manifest is to spend time with me. It isn't to know from Genesis to Revelation every verse in the Bible, although that is very critical and it's very important. But the emphasis has got to be made on meditating, being still before Christ, focusing on Christ, and setting your mind on things above. There is the key. And the greater that we do that, will be the greater measure of that life that will become revealed in us. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for the life to be manifested. Creation is groaning for, you know, to see the manifestation. Not so much to hear a great orator, okay? But they're groaning to see, where's this life that Christianity talks about? They talk about this great love. But a lot of times when I get together with Christians and I'm preaching to the choir, I don't hear a bunch of great love coming out of them. Where is the manifestation of this life? 2,000 years down the road, there's millions of Christians throughout the earth. But the manifestation of the Christ life, where is it? Many of them know scriptures backward and forward. But they've never taken the time to be still and know that he is God.
I think one of the biggest travesties of the Christian, westernized Christian church is, and you've all heard this, and that is, I don't know, I'm not blaming the preachers and the teachers and all that.
No, they're all wonderful.
But, you know, it seems like people feel like they have to fluff and buff the old man to look like Jesus. To get that old man, think, quit sinning. What's wrong with you? You know, you've heard that before, and you can't fluff and buff and fix the old man. The old man has to go, has to be eliminated completely to be able to enter into what God has for each and every person. And then Oscar, was,
yeah.
I'll be right
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, concerning my brother Wiley, and when he said that, you know, he felt like he had run from his calling in God. He gave his life to the Lord when he was a kid, you know, but he's went out and done his own thing for years and years and years. And, you know, he said last night, I was up there until about 9 o'clock last night in ICU. He said last night, and he had, the Lord has even put a Christian nurse in there with him. You know, she's been there for quite a few nights when I've been there. And when she walks in the door, she says, "I see angels in this room," you know, and
that's cool.
And stuff like that. But he's laying there, and he told her, he says, "I see a mist all across the top of this room." And he said,
Wiley said that?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
That's cool.
And I told him, I said, "Well, Wiley," I said, "the scripture said we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." I said, "It's probably the presence of the Lord. He's allowing you to see his presence in this room." Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, a lot of times he is an anxious person. Mm-hmm. He always has to be going, doing something. He can't sit still. He has that kind of a nature, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God has to lay you down to pick you up.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And I you know, if God spares him or if he doesn't spare him, it doesn't make any difference. God's going to take him. He told me, he says, "I was talking to Sue," that's my sister that passed away. Mm-hmm. He said, "I was talking to her, and she said, everything's okay, everybody's good," you know, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know what the Lord's doing, you know, but the calling, like Jim's saying, the calling is really a relationship mm-hmm. with God. Mm-hmm. That's your calling.
Yeah.
And then whatever God has you do after you realize your calling,
out of
that's your ministry.
Yeah, out
yeah
of that relationship.
That's your ministry.
Yeah.
And you know, you couldn't have lived around my mother all them years and not known the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you just couldn't. You know, and but I just wanted to say that last
yeah.
because I mean, I'm not fretful. Whatever God does,
yeah.
there, God takes him, God keeps him. Whatever he does.
Right.
He does all things well, and it all works together. I was telling Ed out there, it all works together
yep.
for good of them that love the Lord, are called according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but we just need to fulfill whatever God has us do.
That's right.
You know,
yep.
And you know, if he has you sitting back being still, sit back and be still. If he has you out doing things, go out and do the things he has you do. I mean, you know. He usually will have you sit back and be still before he sends you out to do something. You know? But just be obedient to whatever you feel the Lord's telling you to do on a daily basis, and you will fulfill the purposes that God has for you. If he has you, you know, sit in a dark room, then go sit in a dark room. If he has you out talking to people, go out and talk to people. You know.
Amen.
You know. I was telling some of the people at the hospital about Jim Pike. I said, you know, Clyde and I went to the hospital to pray for Jim Pike one time when he was sick. And I told him, I said, "Who do you think I prayed for?"
Mm-hmm.
We did. Because that was his nature, to always be praying for people. When his kidneys quit working, he was in dialysis. It hadn't worked for 2 years. Usually when that happens, they're gone.
Yeah.
He'd go down there and pray for everybody in the dialysis room. You know. And guess what? God restored his kidneys, you know. And was he in there for what purpose? To pray for those people that were in there, you know. So wherever God has you, whatever he has you doing, if it's sitting and praying, then sit and pray. If it's out doing something, go out and do what he's telling you to do. Just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says. Follow that leading of the Holy Spirit, and you'll fulfill God's purposes and his plan in your life.
Amen.
You know, is that something?
I just so see that it becomes no longer us, but him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about when people were sick, he said, "Give no thought." And I think in many situations and just our lives, you don't have to give any thought because it's him in you that is manifesting, you know, himself, and that we are being consumed, when you're talking about in him, and we're actually being consumed as we're so in him.
Just like that cup of water gets consumed by the ocean.
Well, you know, Brenda, just in hearing you quote that first part of that verse about take no thought, you know, when you think about that for a moment, Lord, how can I take no thought? If I don't take any thought, what's going to come out of my mouth? And I think, again, what the Lord is trying to say, if you want this life of Christ to come forth,
yes,
then get away from your own thinking. you've got my mind. Walk by that faith, that it's going to be my mind that's going to be manifesting, because I don't want you to take your thoughts. I want you to take the Christ mind that's within you. That just kind of hit me when you said that, take no thought. That's there's really a depth just in that part of the word right there, what Jesus says. I'm not interested in your mind manifesting, because the natural mind does not receive the things of the kingdom of God. So he wants us to be full of the Christ, to manifest that Christ mind. And I think that's where all the emphasis really has got to be in the church today, is coming to know him.
Yes.
And then you'll start seeing real ministry. I think then we'll start seeing real healings. I think we'll start seeing the reality of the kingdom. But until we have a reality people, you know, it's the big key. Just to know him, it's really not that difficult when you get right down to it, because it's all grace. It's all grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in Ephesians there, Brenda, you know, I pray that the unlimited riches and glory and favor will flood you until the supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power.
Where's that, Jim?
It's in Ephesians, the Passion Bible, which I love this Bible. Ephesians chapter 3, and then 34, 35. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. We have to kind of get, I just want to get through this real quick, because Margaret said that Tammy wants to do a sound check. So just listen just for a second here, and we'll get out of here. Something came to me this week about, you know the difference between a floodlight and a spotlight? Anybody know the difference between a spotlight and a floodlight?
Floodlight illuminates everything.
Yeah.
Floodlight illuminates everything. A spotlight is focused. It's focused on one thing or that. So what I got from that was this. After I got that revelation, our eye can still be single on the Lord.
Better be.
But what I needed to do was become more of a floodlight instead of a spotlight. Here's a great example. I had to do something I absolutely love to do. I had to mulch. Okay? Mulching is not one of my favorite things to do in life. Okay, so what happens in many cases when you have to do something you don't want to do? You just focus in on it and you just bust it as hard as you can to get it over with, right? So that's what I started to do. And then all of a sudden the Lord brought this thing, says, you're doing the spotlight thing. I went, okay. So I said, okay, Lord, I want to do the floodlight thing. And so what happened is my mind was just opened up to all the sounds and all the beautiful trees. And I heard a crow doing his thing. I heard all these birds that I don't know who they are. And I heard a hawk way up in the sky. The floodlight came on, and guess what? The spotlight became a lot easier because my whole concentration wasn't on that task at hand. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes.
And so what happened is I started enjoying myself a little bit. Believe it or not, doing mulch. So that's my challenge to everybody, is to start looking at things as a floodlight, where you're taking in God's creation, you're enjoying God's creation.
Change
your attitude, change your focus, changed all that. It really did. And,
do you really enjoy yourself, Malty?
No, I didn't. No.
Come on, my house, you're talking.
Yeah, that's what I said. No, I didn't enjoy it.
It was better than I thought.
It just made it better. Okay, real quick. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So light and life are synonymous. You got to have both, okay? I'm going to just real quick. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So you're not going to have all fullness until you're in him. So start focusing not only him in us, but us in him. You are complete in him. If you're not in him, you're not complete. Which is the head of all principality and power. Wow, that's a powerful one there. But whosoever keepeth this word in him verily is the love of God perfected. That's the key. Love is always the key in all this. Hereby we know we that are in him. And you've heard this a million times. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So let's just give it all to him, all right? I'll stop there. But anyway, hope I didn't throw too much out there. Oscar, could you close, please?
Father, we just thank you for your words, truly our spirit and life. We ask you to just quicken this word into our hearts and our minds, Father, that we become this word, not just hearers, but be doers of this word, in harmony with your word. And we give you all praise and all glory for all that you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.